Our call to worship today is in reference to God's wrath on Israel. It comes from Ezekiel chapter 22, verses 21 through 22. Yes, I will gather you and blow on you with the fire of my wrath, and you shall be melted in its midst. As silver is melted in the midst of a furnace, so shall you be melted in its midst. And then you shall know that I, the Lord, have poured out my fury upon you. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we ask that you have mercy upon us and help us to learn and obey your words, Lord. Our many sins have separated us from you and your glory. Please forgive us and give us the strength to carry on your message to others. And we ask all these things, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
At this time, I'd like to introduce you, Pastor John Musser, direct from Clearfield, South Dakota.
Good morning. I try not to approach the sacred desk any way other than proper, because a number of years ago, I heard a story that goes like this. A young preacher was scheduled to speak at this church, and he was sitting on the front row when they came time to introduce the speaker. He got up with all kind of gusto and confidence, and he fumbled through the sermon, and he just really messed it up. When he concluded, he very humbly went down and sat down on the front row beside an elderly lady. And the elderly lady leaned over and she said, "Son, if thou hast went up as thou hast come down, thou couldst have come down as thou wentest up." So, you'll never forget that, I know. First thing I want to do this morning is look at the clock. 2 weeks ago, I spoke over the Nazarene church, and I looked at the clock. It said 25 after 11. I thought, I've got lots of time. I got done. I greeted the people in the fellowship room and the next room on the way out, and it was 10 after 12. I looked in the sanctuary, and it still said 25 to 12. So we had a problem. But I'll try to keep an eye on it. For those of you who don't know who my wife and I are, let me just give you a little introduction. Nancy was born in upstate New York. Now, it's not New York City, okay? She's raised on a dairy farm, and we say New York, a lot of people think it's all New York City. No, it's not all New York City. She has three sisters and a brother. She's a middle child. I was raised in central Pennsylvania. I've got four brothers and two sisters, and I'm a middle child. I wasn't raised on a dairy farm like my wife was. I was raised on a poultry farm. We had 20,000 chickens, and I got a story about that some other time, maybe. We were married in 1978, so this year I think it's 39 years. So thank the Lord for that. We have three boys, we have 11 grandchildren, and we have pastored full-time for 31 years in the past. We moved to Clearfield, 2 years ago, 2015. So we're the new kids on the block, basically. But we do love it here, and we've met a lot of wonderful, wonderful people. Before we get to the scripture, I brought a little poem with me for fathers, my earthly dad. With these three words, "Dear Heavenly Father, I begin my every prayer. But the man I see when on bended knee is always my earthly dad. He is the image of the Father divine, reflecting the nature of God. For his love and care and the faith he shared pointed me to my Father above. Written by Mary Fairchild. As we look at this passage of Scripture in Ezekiel chapter 22, there's a lot of things preceding those verses that we're going to read. And when Jim called me Friday night, I said, all the things preceding that in the chapter, I said, it's not really uplifting for Sunday morning. All the sins and all the evil and the vice and things that are going on in the city of Jerusalem. But I'm going to break in at verse 28, Ezekiel 22, verse 28. Her prophets whitewash these deeds for them by false vision and lying divinations. They say this is what the sovereign Lord says when the Lord has not spoken. The people of the land practice extortion. They commit robbery. They oppress the poor and needy and mistreat the foreigner, denying them justice. And verse 30, I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall, stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land, so I would not have to destroy it. But I found no one. I'm going to conclude at the end of verse 30. Let's pray. Father, for the next little while, we ask that you would just shut us in with your divine presence. Give us the anointing that we need to effectively share the truth and the challenge you laid on our heart. We pray you would touch the hearts and ears of those in the seats this morning. May our time be blessed because you've ministered to each of our hearts. We'll thank you for what you do. Amen. As I look at that verse 30, and I come down to the end of the verse, those words, but I found no one. Those words have haunted me, if I can say it like that, since I started the working on this sermon. I found no one to stand in the gap. Now, I know those verses do not say anything about the Father, and this is Father's Day, but bear with me. I'd like to offer a challenge this morning to all the fathers. It's already challenged my heart, but not just for the fathers, okay? Everybody can listen in, and I trust we can all get a challenge from these verses. I've already told you a little bit about the passage ahead of these verses, all the things that were going on, the wickedness. And God is searching for a man, okay? Grammatically, it's talking about singular. Searching for a man, a single person. God's looking for a man to build up the wall, stand in the gap. Again, it says, but I found no one. The city becomes so wretched that God says, I've got to punish them. I've got to destroy the city. And I don't know if there's another place in Scripture that points out so clearly the importance of the prayer of one individual. I sought for a man. A single person by prayer can bring reprieve from God's holy judgment against sin. And if we think back over history, there have been men who've done just that. There have been men who have stood up in their generation. They've been the man who stood in the gap. I'm going to name a few. You might recognize the names, maybe you won't. Martin Luther when he posted his 95 theses on the door at Wittenberg. He was a man who stood up for his time. John Wycliffe and the Wycliffe Bible translators, a man again who stood up and was counted, stood in the gap. The founders of Methodism, John and Charles Wesley, the time of the Wesley Revival. And then moving a little bit more into the modern era, there was a man of D.L. Moody. Probably all know the name of D.L. Moody. Billy Sunday. Maybe some of you read the book, A Man Called Peter. Peter Marshall, a missionary. Men who are willing to stand in the gap. We could go on with a lot of other names, but I think we get the drift of where we are. Men who not only stood up, it's one thing to stand up. What are you going to do when you get people's attention? They stood up and they spoke up. But before they could stand up, before they could speak up, they had to do something else. They surrendered their will to the power of God, and he enabled them to be the men to stand in the gap. I would like to offer a challenge for every father, for all of us, moms, dads, grandparents, singles, teenagers, younger people, children, whatever. A 5-point challenge. They all start with the letter C. I want to approach the first one like this. If God were looking for a man to fill the gap in the place of prayer for your children, that's the first C. If God were looking for a man to fill the gap, to build a wall of prayer around your children, who would there be to stand in the gap for your children? We can't expect somebody else to assume the responsibility that we own. It's our responsibility. We own it for our children. And I use the C because it flows through with the rest of them. But when I say our children, I'm talking about our family. I'm talking about our wife. I'm talking about our children. I'm talking about extended family. Who will stand in the gap if we as fathers don't do so? I know of a family, had a teenage son. Left home at the age of 18. Parents were devastated. The load was so heavy. They didn't feel like they could carry the load by themselves. They called a couple of their pastor friends. Asked them to help fill in the gap. Collectively, they prayed. God answered prayer. The young man not only came home, he came to Christ. And today he's a minister. I'm talking about somebody standing in the gap for the children, for the family. Moving on, secondly, to the second C. And I'm going to start with fathers. If God were searching for a man, just one, to become the intercessor and build a wall around this church, who would there be? Okay? Now, let me just say this. The church is under attack in general across the country. Around the globe, Christians are being persecuted. The church is under attack. Now, let me back up. Not only is the church under attack, the family is under attack. Families are falling apart. Things are happening. Satan is just doing his best to destroy the family and destroy the church. So if God is looking, or God were to look for one man, to build a wall of prayer around this church, who will accept the responsibility? Now, I'm not saying it has to be a man, okay? It could be a lady. And I'm not here to minimize your prayer life, what you're already doing. That's not the issue. The challenge is, in the passage, God sought for a man and found no one. I believe God is looking today for people who will stand in the gap in the place of prayer against the attack of Satan on the church. I start with the fathers. It's Father's Day. But there's another reason I start with the fathers in these questions. According to Scripture, the men are the leaders, right? The biblical hierarchy, follow it through. I'm not going to get into that this morning. But dads, I'm going to say it like this. Are we willing to take the lead? Are we willing to stand up and fill the gap? Moving on quickly to number three. Our third C is our community. I have to add this in here because, dads, we live here. Our families live here. And our community becomes what we are. And I will say again, we can't say, well, let somebody else do it. I'm busy enough. One church we pastored, we were working on an outreach program. And some folks have been in that church for a long time. Said, we've heard all this stuff before. We've tried all this stuff before. And then they proceeded to tell me, we've put in our time. Let somebody else do it. That's not what a pastor wants to hear. I could have come unglued, but I did it. What do you think God would say if we said, let somebody else do it? You think God would have the right to come unglued? After all I did for you, and you said, let somebody else do it? Our community. I know there are people who are willing to donate their time and their energy and their resources to make our community a better place. But who among us is willing to say, God, I'll build a wall around our community. I'll stand in the gap. Let me enlarge on that. Number four is our county. Not just the town of Winter and the little towns around here, but Tripp County. Say, why that? Because if our community is revived, guess what happens? It spreads across the county. You know what happens when that begins to happen? Somebody tell me what happens. It continues to grow. The challenge to stand in the gap. We not only live here, we work here. We've got grandkids in the area. You've got family in the area. What do we want it to be? I sought for a man, but I found none. Let me go on quickly to the last C. And as for our country, I'm glad I heard a prayer request over here somewhere. Pray for our country or our leaders or government officials. We're commanded in the Scripture to do that. Pray for those that have rule over you. On behalf of our country, it's not a secret. The division, the animosity, the hatred, the bitterness. I got to where I don't even want to listen to the news or look at the news. I said to one man in the one church we pastored a number of years ago, I said, why don't we find somebody who will print a newspaper with nothing but good news? He said it wouldn't sell. I said, it would sell. People are tired of the negativity. What do you do when somebody starts giving you a negative story? Oh, no, not another one. Give me something positive and I'm going to give you all my attention. You give me something negative and I'll probably tell you, was that in the past? Leave it there. Somebody called me on the phone this week and talking. And I listen. I'm wondering how to get beyond this. I'm going to come back. I said, Were all these things in the past? Yes. I knew that. They didn't happen today. They weren't happening now. They're bygone. I said, do you realize the size of your rearview mirror in your car is really small compared to the size of your windshield? So you can focus more on where you're going than where you've been? I said, I'd rather not talk about the past. Now, I know we all have a history. Families, churches, county, country, we have a history. And it's all back there. But if we can collectively this morning commit to be the people, not a man, can I say a church? A church that is willing to collectively say, we will stand in the gap for our families in the church, for our community, for our county, for our country, and just bind together in a unity that we've never known before, in a spirit of collectiveness that we can say, we didn't just find a man. We found a church. I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about we as the people, the church. We found a church that's willing to bind together, to really intercede to the throne room of glory on behalf of our families, of the church, the community, the county, and the country. And different times when I pray, I say, God, if you could let my prayers into the throne room of glory, we can see an answer. And then I say, but God, if you'll just allow my prayers to find their way to the very heart of God, I know it'll make a difference. So the challenge this morning to dads, to moms, to everybody, to all of us, will we be willing to stand in the gap and let God do the rest? There's so many areas that we could deal with in branching out from these five. But I trust that we'll let God work on our hearts. I don't want it to be said of me, I looked for a man and couldn't find one. It would be a sad day if God said, I looked for a church and couldn't find one. I looked for somebody, but there wasn't anybody. Let me say this and I'll wrap it up. The night I got a phone call from Jim. Look at caller ID. I said, I don't know Jim Meyer. We answered the call and he told me what he wanted. And I said, yeah, I can help you out. I told Jim on the phone, I said, I want to tell you something. What I observed a couple of times we visited, I said, there's a powerful spirit of worship in this place. And it was no different this morning. The singing. That's why I say I believe there's that connectivity, if I can use that word. You're connected. And I believe there's the attitude, yes, we will rise to the challenge. We will stand in the gap. And if we can do that collectively, only God knows the outcome. But I'm glad we can be part of it, to stand in the gap, to be strong, and see what God can do. Thank you for your attention. Amen.
For the benediction, I have chosen 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God, our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. God bless you this week.